welcome to this episode of Dot Game. I'm Stacey Hafner, and today we're going to be looking at moving our character around in the scene that we've set up. So the style we're going to create is a point and click. So we'll click somewhere, she's going to move to it. We'll actually have a little bit of a sprite it's going to be a circle and a little pulse to show the user where they clicked. And then we are going to explore the navigation mesh, the nav agent, and then the nav obstacle inside of Unity. So we probably won't get to all of that in this video. I'm guessing this will be a two-part series, but we'll see how far we end up making it. So diving in, we have the scene where we had left off in the last video. We have our witch slash wizard player here, and then we of course have our merchant that we'll eventually mosey our way on over to. So the first thing to talk about is really what Unity's navigation system is. So if we click over under the inspector, there should be, if you have the default layout, you'll have this navigation tab. If you don't have it, just go under window and somewhere around here, it'll be, there it is. It'll be here and you can click that and bring it up. But the first thing we want to do is basically define the navigation area, which is basically where we want the person to be able to walk. So we click on the environment and then ground. What we can do is turn that on. So again, in this navigation section, what I'm going to do is enable navigation static. We're not going to touch off mesh links. We're actually really not even going to talk about them in this video, but we'll come back and do some more complex navigation stuff, which will involve the off mesh links. So for now, I'm just going to kind of skip over that. And then what we're going to do is define this area as walkable. And there's actually, you can see there's a couple different options, and this is, you can specify the different areas. So if you look up here, we have object, bake, and areas. If I click areas, we could actually add one here, come back over and pick that as our variable if we wanted. So we don't need to do anything a little bit more complex with this one, so it's really not needed. So I'm just gonna clear it out. And that should have cleared it. So you can think of wanting to do kind of the areas if you have something slightly more complex. So for example, a game that I was working on previously, we had a whole AI where you had a city and cars were driving around and you had pedestrians that had to walk across the street. And so we had different zones separated out for our navigation based off of whether or not we wanted somebody to be able to walk across a certain area and what time that we actually wanted them to walk during that. So for example, obviously you don't want them to go darting across the intersection when the light is red. They happen to do that a lot anyway, but it does allow you to at least fine tune that behavior a little bit more, especially when it comes to the coding side of things. Okay, so with that set up, we just kind of have the basic stuff. I'm gonna hit this bake button. What we'll see happen is it went and it did some processing very quickly. And they overlaid this blue area. This is basically the nav mesh that got generated. So what Unity does when you're working with the navigation is it takes your mesh, which is essentially your kind of raw object, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, and it'll define the walkable path based off of that mesh. So if you had some stairway and some hallways and things like that, you could define that, like, your navigation mesh up the stairs into the through the hallway. And you can fine tune this a little bit more in the bake settings of the navigation window. So you can see there's actually a whole set of different options. So just kind of briefly taking a look, radius or agent radius, as they call it, is how close the character can get to the obstacle. So the number will basically define like a hallway. It'll define how wide really this mesh is inside a particular area. The next is the height, which is how tall the ceiling must be for the player to walk underneath it. So we might explore something like that maybe within the cave if we want to determine whether or not the person could actually navigate inside of this area. It might be an area where that's useful. The next one down is max slope. And what this is basically how steep a slope has to be in order to be considered a wall. And then the last one that we have is the step height, and that's how tall an individual step or bump needs to be before it blocks the player. So again, that would be in handy if maybe you have a hill or stairs or something that you wanted them to navigate up. So again, I said earlier we're going to skip the AF mesh stuff, so I'm gonna not talk about this. But I guess to give you just a brief, what is that kind of explanation? That comes into play when you have maybe two meshes that aren't connected, but you want to somehow navigate between them. So you have a really, really tall hill, and you maybe want, like, this is a bad example of a hill, but maybe one where it's like a bluff where they kind of come up, this is a better example, where they kind of can come up and then they're at like the peak, but maybe you want them to be able to jump off of that here, so they're traversing non kind of mesh areas. That's where working with off mesh links come into play. So we'll explore more in-depth kind of navigation stuff eventually, and that's where that we'll look at it. Okay, so this is great in terms of defining the area that our player can walk on, but we really haven't defined who or what objects we want to be able to navigate that. And that comes into play with what's known as a nav mesh agent. And that's a component that you can actually add to your character. So if we again come over to our body, and oops, I'm gonna clear all of this out. I'm gonna go a long way around this. Which is actually probably a nice, oh yeah, navigation. I was gonna say, I'm not sure I actually know where that, I'm so organized, because I always type. So under navigation, you can actually see there's a few. We're gonna add this nav mesh agent component to our game object. So we can see a couple things have happened here. The game object is here, but more interestingly enough is this kind of green circle around our character, which is basically, so we have the radius, the height, and the base offset. This is defining the nav mesh agents kind of where, oops, where it's located. So I guess I'll just do, I don't know where it went. Let's see. And I'll do that for now. So it's really quite strange that it's so really that it's even positioned remotely where it's at. I've never had it do this before. Oops. All the wrong buttons. Height is... See it. So the base offset, I'm gonna see. Our numbers are so tiny. This is why. We're scaled so weird. I'm not sure how that happened. I'm gonna waste time fixing it right now, though. I will fix that later. So point, this is probably fine. Wonder if, all right, so we're kind of going into slightly uncharted territory right now, just because my model looks like I set that up a little bit weird. So I have been learning modeling, 3D modeling. So I'm not by any means an expert. There we go, I just put it on the wrong one. An expert of it, and I'm guessing I probably set it up a little bit funny. All right, so at least our nav mesh agent is really her height. It's about-ish. There we go. Okay. Sorry about that little deviation. All right, so taking a look at the agent itself, as you can tell, there's a lot of different properties tied to it. So You've just seen pretty in-depth the radius, the height, and the base offset, so I'm going to skip talking about those, and we'll jump into the steering. So steering Speed is pretty obvious. It is the agent's max speed in which it can move. Angular speed is how quickly they can turn. Again, I'm kind of in this area. Acceleration is how quickly they can accelerate. Stopping distance is the distance from the target that the agent will slow down. Now, we'll talk a little bit, I think, about targeting and pathfinding a little more, because we're going to actually code this up a bit to, so that when we click, it sends where we said we want this person to go to it. And that's essentially, it'll, once we do that, it'll send that information to it, and then it'll try to calculate a path in which it can get to where we told it to get to. And then the last thing kind of in this area is the auto braking. And that indicates if they'll start braking as the agent nears the target, which is really good for kind of keeping it away from overshooting where it's trying to go. Now we have obstacle avoidance. And then there's two items under here. So there's quality. So you can see there's a few different options. So the higher the quality, the more the accurate avoiding will be. The lower the quality, the more efficient it will be, but a little bit less accurate. Priority is which agents have priority when navigating. So the higher the priority, the lower this number will be. Which for some reason, I guess that makes sense. Probably one tends to be a higher priority. For some reason in my head, I actually tend to reverse that. I don't know why. Okay, so the last section is pathfinding. So this one that you can't really read all is auto traverse off mesh link. Again, we'll kind of skip that. We'll talk about it later. We have auto repath, which lets the agent rebuild the path if it becomes invalid. And reasons that it might be invalid is, say you have an object, so maybe this crate, and that has an obstacle, navmesh obstacle game object on it, which we'll talk about shortly here, and that's blocking the path. So that basically, the auto repath would say like, oh, I can't make it here, and then it'll calculate a different way, if possible, for it to go. And then our last one is the area mask. So this says what layers it can traverse. So you can actually see walkable, not walkable jump. These were the ones that we looked at earlier. So had I kept that temp one here, that would also be here. So this is where, again, kind of fine tuning that navigation can come into play a bit, which is great. So what we'll do is hook up a little bit of code to get it to move, or to get our wizard slash witch to move a bit. So right now nothing will actually happen. So I collapsed all of these. I think I have a scripts folder. Oh, I still have my testing. Add a new script. In this script, we will call movement controller. Okay, so now with Visual Studio up and running, we have our movement controller script. I'll zoom in a bit. This is fairly easy to read. So what we want to do is get an instance of mesh agent, of our nav mesh agent. So we'll call that navigation mesh. And then when this first starts, so remember this is going to run one time. We just want to get that component. So if I do navigation mesh equals get component navigation, nav mesh agent. I am just having trouble typing today. Okay, so basically what we're doing is we're getting our, we're defining variable to hold our nav mesh agent, and then we're just going to get that component. And so this works as long as this game object, or this, I'm sorry, component or script lives on the same game object as this. Otherwise, we'd have to traverse a hierarchy or do something different, basically, to obtain it. But because I know this is going to live on the same thing, that's fine to do. So inside of our update, which again is a loop that'll occur every frame, we're going to check to see if the mouse button is down. And we're going to look for mouse button 0, which is going to be the first mouse button. And then we're going to do raycast. And you're probably, if you aren't familiar, the Raycast, I will explain it shortly. But basically what we're going to do, well, I'll explain it now. So raycasting is basically a physics call. And what it'll do is it'll draw a line from one point to another point. And then it'll tell you whether or not it hit anything, and if it did hit something, what it hit, as long as that object has what's known as a collider on it, which we haven't talked about in this series, but I'll have some pointer material to reading about colliders, and then eventually we will start to dive and explain into them a lot more. Okay, so basically what I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, if our ray cast, and then I have to define where it's starting, where it's going, but if the ray cast, so we're going to start from our camera, our main camera, and then we're going to do a screen point to ray. We're basically going to take the mouse position as our starting, and then we're going to write it out to our hit variable. And we'll just do our distance. So we're going to do a distance of 100. And then we'll probably need to make. And this actually should take a vector. Sorry, I'm all over the place here. Vector 3, a new position. So we're going to pass in where it hit to our method, and then we'll do something with that. So we'll do hit.point. And you can see the impact in world space where it hit a collider. And the collider it's going to hit is our ground. So saving that, and then we will do, so you can work with the navigation mesh. So we'll work with our agent, and we're actually going to set the destination to be the position in which we clicked. All right, so again, we got our nav mesh agent. We're gonna check to see whether or not the left mouse button, the first mouse button, is down. We'll do a raycast. We'll do a raycast. If we hit something, which we likely will if they're clicking on the ground, we'll pass where we hit the coordinates of which is vector 3, so x, y, and z positioning, of where we hit over to our navigation mesh, which will automatically force have our character move. So coming back over here, drop movement controller over to our guy. In theory, it should work. She moves very, very slowly, but she moves. So if I do, let's bump it up to 10. That's better. So you can kind of see that you can mess with these settings. So that's fantastic. If I undo play, you'll see that actually my speed reverted back from 10 to 3.5, which was what it was originally. So this doesn't apply to everything, but the majority of stuff when you're editing the properties and you edit it while it's running, and you come back out, it will not keep those properties. An exception to that rule, I think, is materials, if I remember correctly. That was the one where if you did edit it, it would actually keep it. So if I change this to 10, I'm actually going to show you too. So before I wrap this video up, because I think we're actually going to stop here and then do the rest in another video, one thing that's super helpful when working with this is you can actually mess with, no, it's not the editor settings, excuse me. It's been a while since I've done this, but it's so insanely handy. I think it's just the preferences. Oops. So one of the things that you can do is change the colors. So you can actually alter the play mode tint. I usually go for blue. And that will help you remember that you're in play mode. Because that is the second most common mistake that I have made in the past, is forgetting I'm in play mode, altering some values, popping out, forgetting what I altered them to, and then just kind of rinsing and repeating. So setting that tint can be very, very handy. All right, so that is it for this part of the video. In the part 2, we're going to take a look at NavMesh obstacles and basically, oh, and then we'll take a look also at animation. So very basic animations, making a sprite appear and kind of pulse when they go to click. So I will see you guys next time. Thanks.